This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We are Dukes and Bell, guys. Glad to have you listening on a Monday. I tweeted out earlier, I had an amazing story to tell coming off the weekend. Hope you had a great weekend as well. And Mike just asked me, because Mike's impatient. Mike's like, who'd you meet? What happened? Where was this? I will tell that story coming up here in just a little bit. It is something you do not want to miss. This is not hyperbole. This is something you don't want to miss.
That is a bold statement, Cotton.
Coming up a little bit later here on Dukes and Bell, when I was out in Vegas over the weekend. You were at a party over the weekend. Craig, how was your weekend, by the way, man? Craig behind the glass, our engineer, how was your weekend?
It was cool because Lily had her prom, so that was my first So that was definitely a little nerve-wracking. And actually made it even worse. She got in a car accident beforehand, which made it even scarier.
She okay?
Yeah, she's a guy. likes Dukes and Bell, actually, because she's wearing her 1990 game T-shirt. He said he loves Dukes and Bell.
Yeah, Playboy, you got insurance?
Yeah, he did. That's pretty much what I say when I got on the phone. You got insurance, bro?
Thank you.
But did you teach her the patented Craig Valentino move, though, as soon as you get out of the car? Oh, my neck!
my neck!
Oh, my God! Neck roll! Need a neck roll!
Yeah, she just finished getting her hair done to go to the prom, so we had to talk her into wanting to go to the prom, but she had a really good time. So.
She's okay, though.
Yeah, okay. She was okay. She's more shook up than anything, but so that would kind of led to the whole weekend, so it was pretty much that going on.
Yeah, man. Good deal. So the guy was cool, the kid?
Oh, we got... I'm going to tell you guys a story, and you can tell me if we talk about it on the air.
Okay.
So I'll tell you. Yeah, it's one of those. It was almost a Bad Boys 2 moment.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah.
Well, I got to fill you guys in on Jake.
All right.
The saga continues on my daughter.
All right.
Anyways, Bo Morgan, how was your weekend, man? Good stuff?
It was great. We went to... Frogtown in Dahlonega for Amy's birthday, a little wine tasting on Saturday.
Your wife's birthday?
Yes.
Look at you.
And had some fun. And then my boy came in town from Dallas, Texas. So yesterday was a marathon.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
So nobody's actually pumping fresh blood right now is what you're telling me here.
Yeah.
Because you just came off a Vegas trip.
I did. You got it in over the weekend too, Bo, huh?
Yeah, pretty
hard.
And by
the way, appreciate you. Where'd you find that Hey Man Ale, by the way?
A place called Bullock's on Town Lake. Bullock's wine, I think it's a
big package store.
Yeah, package is what they call it. Bullock's package, and I talked to the guy.
Okay.
And I said, hey, is that Hey Man move pretty fast off the shelves? And he made an emphatic head shake, and I go, really? He goes, they come on Thursdays. When they come back only every week for the new shipment on Thursday, there's like, if there's any left, it's like 1 6-pack.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, that beer must be good.
Well, again,
get some.
Help contribute to Dukes and Bell's 401k plan, please.
That beer must be delicious. Hey, man, there's a lot going on around the National Football League. Owners meeting in Phoenix. Are they going to change the replay rule? We're going to talk about that. Let's get to an NFL blitz.
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
But first and foremost, let's talk about the big news that dropped over the weekend, and that is Gronk retiring. Mike, we talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
You and I both said, listen, can he, will he? We don't know. Is he serious? Is he just contemplating this? Well, obviously he's serious, and after 9 years, he's calling it quits.
Yeah, and the guy's been nothing but banged up. And I was going around and around with a couple of listeners, and I don't understand what you guys don't understand about Gronk. I mean, he basically helped to redefine the position the way a guy like Tony Gonzalez did. Yes, he's playing with Tom Brady, but he's not playing with any great wide receivers other than the 1 year or two that they had Randy Moss there. This guy has never had a chance to be healthy. Carl, he has had 2 seasons where he's played 16 games, 79 touchdowns. He's got one on the ground on an end around. So that's 80 touchdowns, but 79 as a tight end. First ballot Hall of Famer credentials. On a relatively short career.
Yeah, I posted a tweet this morning asking if he is the best tight end to ever do it. Listen, there's always going to be bias, all right? Not taking anything away from Tony Gonzalez or Shannon Sharp, okay? Guys that were amazing at the position. But Gronk, guys, there's been no guy to have a bigger impact on his team at that position in the biggest moments. See, for me, we can talk about the regular season stuff, Mike, but when you talk about 23 receptions in the Super Bowl, more than any other tight end, yes, it's a function of him playing in a few.
Right.
He's got 3 rings. But then you say, all right, well, what else did he do? 12 playoff touchdowns for Gronkowski?
Yeah, he has money. Plus, he blocks.
This dude is money.
Does the physical stuff, too. I mean,
that's over 1,100 right. yards receiving in the – I'm talking about playoffs. So when we talk about what impact the guy has on the regular season, that is a part of the narrative. I do think there are going to be some people out there, when it's all said and done, who will say, Mike, you know what? He didn't do it long enough. He wasn't healthy enough. Durability will play a factor. I don't care about that.
Look, Gale Sayers is the guy. And that's not to use the phrase lower the bar, but Gale Sayers has created a different set of rules. A guy like Gronk is in. So if
can you be great for 5 seasons in the NFL? I mean, seriously, right. If you're great in the NFL for 5 seasons or more, I think you got to be in consideration.
Right. And the numbers speak for themselves as far as where he ranks as far as the tight ends out there. Carl just gave you, what does he do in the playoffs? Because for a lot of us, you know, in baseball, that's always my metric, and nobody talks about it, but the clutch metric. What are you doing with the games on the line? Who's the go-to guy? Even when he's on one good leg and one good arm, Brady's going to find a way to connect with him. So if people want to say it's the system, so you're telling me if Jerry Rice played for the Jets, he wouldn't have wound up in Canton? Okay, the truly elites are the truly elites. And you don't like the fact that he parties? Never been arrested for drugs or anything like that. The guy gets it in. He loves chicks. He likes chasing chicks. He gets the chicks he chases, and they seem to like his company. You got a problem with that? I don't get it. And they're above age, too, by the way. Okay, R. Kelly fans, okay?
That's true. No, I agree with that. Listen, Gronk, speaking of, we always talk about, Jeter and how Jeter did it during his career. Now, Jeter did it for 20 years, which is amazing.
That hell of a system.
That he did what he did. And every guy, you know, who's listening, if you know what we're talking about getting it in and meeting women and having a good time and never really ever having drama or the extra.
Right.
20 years. Gronk's been in the league for 9 years. Mike's right. If that's your issue with Gronk, get over it. He is a dude's dude who has a good time. I know there's been a lot of conversation about that, but for me, it's never interfered with his performance on the field.
We had a story. I'll tell you a quick story that I can tell it now because it's already been out there. The Boston Herald had this the other day. But remember the story that Goose Gotze told us when he was coaching tight ends? Gronk and the Patriots had come off. I guess they had lost. I forget. It might have been either the Steelers or the Ravens, and it was a regular season game. And the next week, and Gronk, they couldn't get a touchdown on the tight ends, and they really struggled in the passing game. And so Belichick's riding them and everything. They do a bunch of red zone drills. Gronk scores like 5 touchdowns in this practice, and he has one of those that-was-easy buttons from like Office Depot, and he had it on top of the crossbar. So on one of the touchdowns, he goes and knocks it, grabs it down, and goes, that was easy. That was easy. So the next week, he gets back on track, and they go all the way to the Super Bowl, and they win. So the dude, I mean, he gets the job done. I mean, he's the kind of guy you want him on your team. You tell me you don't want to have that kind of wild man scoring touchdowns, going bananas. Please.
Yeah, definitely. Gronk's gone. But what do the Patriots do now? Here's the thing for me, and somebody said, oh, this is the demise of the Patriots. Not until 12 calls it quits, okay?
Now, Belichick, the good news is it's a rich tight end class if you want to go do it that way. Like the thing about the Patriots is, you know, they make the right decisions. But Gronk was one of their decisions, one of the few guys that they actually did give money to when his contracts were coming up. And then at this time, remember last year there was talk he was going to walk away. This year he finally does.
Yeah. And here's the other thing. You know, they were also the team that were a little bit ahead of the bar when you talk about having two athletic tight ends who could be on the field at the same time.
Right.
Aaron Hernandez ruined that.
Right.
But realistically, Aaron Hernandez should have been a part of this run. And they were doing that way before anybody else. Creating those mismatches with their size and speed. You put a corner on them too small, linebacker too not fast enough. I thought that was brilliant. And they still won, even though that didn't work out.
Well, you know, one thing is interesting, though. You know Belichick the way we do. And, again, it's a begrudging respect because they just keep winning. If Aaron Hernandez doesn't go sociopath, it'd be interesting because they might have moved on from Gronk because of the injuries. You know, and Aaron Hernandez maintained the level when they gave him that $42 million contract extension.
What else is going on around the National Football League? The NFL's annual NFL owners meetings going on, guys. It's happening in Phoenix. And, Bo, I want to bring you into this conversation because we've talked a lot about this. And the replay rule is one of the things that they're talking about. Are they going to have a vote potentially on overturning pass interference? What we saw, all right, guys, in the Saints game, because that's what they're talking about. That's just one of the things that they're talking about maybe overturning or at least changing, having Mike reviews on those kinds of plays. Now, I'm against it because I think it's just going to slow up the game.
Well, Rich McKay last week said that there was no traction amongst the teams that he was speaking with for that skybox guy. Remember we talked about like sort of the
extra official
that Mike Pereira had talked about. So as far as that aspect, that thing's dead in the water. As far as revisiting some of the replay, they're going to iron it out. But it doesn't seem like we're going to get any changes in that department.
So replay, guys, and I bring this up, it's the centerpiece of these meetings. Because everybody saw what happened in the playoffs. The NFL knows that's a black eye. They don't want a repeat performance of that. And again, if it's the Falcons, we're raising hell, right? I mean, we made fun of the Saints, but if that's Julio on that play and we don't go to the Super Bowl, we're losing our minds.
But I said this to Randy McMichael on Friday. I said, why don't you just kick the tires on this eye in the sky guy and see if you could keep it streamlined? And again, you cannot, you're not going to be calling holding. You're not. There's moments. Pass interference has become one of the biggest moments in games. You agree with me on that?
Yes.
So why don't you evaluate that? Because they're not going to change it to a 20-yard penalty, which is some people say that's the idea, Carl. Take what college does and add 5 yards.
The two proposals, allegedly, what we're hearing out of the meetings, the first adds a pass interference penalty to the list of reviewable calls. So it happens, you can review it. You can't do that now. The other one is, the second proposal is include pass interference as well as the other 15-yard personal fouls like roughing the passer.
Especially the targeting now, that's a thing which is in the college game drives people bananas, and the refs don't get it right all the time.
No. So, I we're keeping an eye out. I was saying to Bo, because it may not happen today, but this is the tenor of the meeting. This is what they're talking about at the owners' meetings.
Now, a couple of things that John Mara, the co-owner of the Giants, got in front of the microphone to talk about. One, he insists that he is not holding on to Eli out of sentimentality. And he also apparently says that he was not, it took a little, Dave Gettleman working him to sign off on trading Odell Beckham to the Browns. Said he didn't. He was a fan of the guy and had a hard time with the decision.
Can you imagine that conversation? I mean, you got an old school guy sitting there going, right. You want to trade my best player? What? It is interesting to hear him talk about this. I don't know if it was a mistake or not. We will see. I mean, if the Browns go on, guys, and win playoff games and Super Bowls, then Giants fans will hate this deal for years to come.
Right.
If nothing happens, and Odell Beckham's a very good player with the Browns, but they never get over the hump, okay. I don't know if it was
a bad
thing.
You can't judge it until you see what the Giants are. Yeah, Giants are going to get in the draft pick and how Jabril Peppers, fits in as a Giant. So, but right, on first blush, though, it was still kind of one that did have people scratching their heads in New York.
It's our NFL Blitz segment, guys. It's Dukes and Bell coming up. We will talk more about the Braves starting rotation as opening day is right around the corner. Let's hear from Cliff Kingsbury. He is the head coach now of the Arizona Cardinals. Cliff, are you guys going to trade that pick away, or are you going to draft Kyler Murray?
I think everything's on the table. I think, like I said, when you have that first pick, you've got to turn over every stone and look at every scenario that's out there. And so we're definitely doing that.
Okay. Is that a yay or nay? No?
Well, meanwhile, John Elway, who doesn't have a real good track record drafting quarterbacks of late, Carl, maybe you hadn't noticed. And again, they've got Joe Flacco. But according to Michael David Smith from Pro Football Talk, Broncos plan to visit with all four top quarterback prospects in the draft. Kyler Murray. That would be Drew Locke. That would be Haskins. Mm. And who am I forgetting? The kid from Duke. So there you go. Yeah. So Broncos, that's window dressing or not, they're going to kick the tires on QBs, apparently.
Here's Cliff Kingsbury talking about Josh Rosen. Because people were like, well, you just drafted a quarterback. I mean, why would you do that?
I've talked to Josh, and he understands it's business and what all goes with the first pick and what's going on.
Do you foresee Josh being part of your team in the fall?
Yeah, I do. I do. I mean, when you have the first pick, anything can happen, as you know. But, he's a talented player, and we're very high on him, and that hasn't changed.
Now, the initial reports, of course, were the Patriots were the ones that were sniffing around for Josh Rosen in a trade because they've always got picks to trade. But some people said that the Arizona Cardinals were holding out for a second rounder and nobody would give you more than a third for Josh Rosen. What's he worth?
At least that. What was he? What pick was he? 10th overall?
He's top 10, right?
Yeah, at least, Mike.
Well, like I said, the guy has got a cannon for an arm. We saw it here in Atlanta, at least in the first quarter. Then he, turned to silly putty.
By the way, Kingsbury's got a radio career after his coaching days over.
Got the pipes.
Listen to Cliff Kingsbury again. Listen to this guy.
Josh, and he understands it's business and what all goes with the first pick and what's going on.
60-minute classic rock block for you right here in Phoenix, kicking off with Foghat.
He's got a career in front of him, man.
If not the Quiet Storm, he's definitely got it going on.
Now, I know, Mike, you've been waiting for this. You've been waiting for this. Johnny Manziel in the AAF.
You betcha. Now, the only thing that made this remotely compelling, and I saw this on SportsCenter, because no, I would never in a million years have watched this, was he was mic'd up. And apparently somebody on whoever the other hell team he was playing, he plays for Memphis, right? Somebody started jawing with him. He's like, okay, B, I'll light you up right now. And he's going round and round with this guy. It was kind of funny to hear. That's about it.
It really is. And people are like, psych. I don't get it. I mean, everybody gets this Johnny Manziel buzz, like all of a sudden he's going to be in the NFL again. He's not. But here's a highlight.
Bring the extra rusher. Manziel stands tall, goes left side, has a receiver, caught left sideline. Big connection to Pete Howard. Johnny Manziel with his first completion of his Alliance career.
Okay. There it is.
Special time in a boy's life. His first American Federation of Aligned Pipe Fitter Football touchdown.
No,
that wasn't even a touchdown. It was just a completion.
Yeah, Mike. And it was to who? Pig Howard? It was to Pig Howard. That'll never be forgotten.
AFF fever. Catch it.
Alliance. American Alliance, Mike.
You bet it is.
It is not that other league you were talking about. Hey, guys. What if I told you we got young arms and we're actually going to see them? Like, now. No more waiting for some of these guys we've been talking about. We'll talk about the Braves and what it might look like here over the next week as we get ready for opening day next on Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, guys, coming up, we're going to talk about the Dawgs at 4 o'clock. Mike, some issues going on with the Georgia program?
Well, as we said last week with Randy, it's a rite of spring, Carl. Georgia players being arrested for misdemeanors, but we'll get to that. The good news is, historically in the SEC, if you do have a few guys, you know, a little edge to them, pretty much locks you in that you're going to win the SEC East. Now, hopefully you got to beat Alabama, but it certainly did wonders for Urban Meyer down at Florida, Carl, to have some guys on the police blotter.
Yeah, I used to always talk to a guy. He's long gone now. He was one of these football guru guys. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, when the draft really was popping and becoming popular. His name was Joel Buschbaum.
And he used the nerd guy. I mean, he's like a savant.
He was a savant.
Right, Joel
was a savant. And he was a guy that I'd have on every week. And Joel, he'd talk like this. And you'd ask him about a player. And this is before computers and Google. I mean, I'm serious. And he would literally just lived in media guides and videos, VCRs. And he'd tell you about anybody in the country. And we were talking about college football one time. And I use this famous line because Joel would always say, you need a little criminal element to your program. And that's what we're talking about. So
I mean, some call it edge, but I hear what you're saying.
People don't want to hear it. But you go back, Miami was good when they had a little criminal element. Florida, sorry, Bo, was good when they had a little. It's just kind of what it is. Now, you're going to say, well, Alabama hadn't had that.
Well, they handle things differently in Tuscaloosa.
Correct. Thank you, Mike. That's exactly where I was
Remember,
going.
Athens, Clark County PD, I swear to God, they have in the cruiser, they got the entire sports information directory. They've got every athlete who's playing for Georgia, Carl. They see a dude, they could punch it up. It's almost like the Terminator. Fullback, number five. They know exactly. And real quick, but if you're new to the show, my brother is a cop. We always have support for law enforcement, but it just seems like there's guys – schools around the Southeast, Carl, where sometimes they look the other way. That doesn't happen in Athens.
No, and I've never really understood that because I would think that, you know, you probably want to call somebody to get kids out of situations. But I'm not saying they should have privilege. Don't get me wrong.
Well, again, the student-athletes are more important than the average student.
They are?
Well, I mean no, that's not, that would be wrong. I mean...
No, I was going to say, Mike, they are not. That is that they are. There's no way.
Have you ever seen an English major score a touchdown? No.
Mike, they are not more important. Everyone on campus is equal, Mike.
Whatever.
You and I both know.
Whatever. Hey, man, the Bravos, as you said, now we are getting the rain rolling through right now. It's kind of showery right here in Midtown, and it looks like north of the city, Carl. But if it's an exhibition against the Reds. This is not – some people were confused. The season starts in Philly. But what do you make of this? Because it's official now. He was doing it during the spring training. Do you like the idea of Ronald Acuna now batting cleanup?
I do and I don't. I don't from the standpoint of I like him at the top of the lineup simply because of the pressure he puts on pitchers, especially when you start an inning or, for that matter, to start a game. I mean, there's nothing like a pitcher going, okay, I know this guy. And most pitchers want to go fastball down the pike right to start the game to get themselves going. And I know this guy's sitting there waiting on that. So now I need to change something up, Mike. And ball. Now Acuna's up in the count, and now you got to pitch to him. And then if you do juice that fastball, it's gone. If you don't pitch to him, he's on base, and he's causing havoc on the base pass. I love that aspect. I do like the fact, though, if you hit him fourth, Mike, he's got a chance of driving 130 runs, and he's got a chance to hit 30 home runs. Not saying he can't do it in the leadoff spot, but those kind of MVP numbers would happen more as a cleanup hitter.
If you were in the American League and you had some guys at the bottom of the lineup that might be getting on base for you, then you don't really fret over the, you know, batting first thing. It just, there are the arguments. And again, I mean, I just don't, I mean, Acuña's only got 1 year under his belt as a Brave. Josh Donaldson comes in and is like, yes, I haven't played a full season in 2 years, but I must bat second. Okay. They're going to let him do that. He's batting to robust 111 in spring training. Let's hope that this $23 million
he's gonna
man
get it going. He's gonna get
gets
it going.
A gherkin, right.
He's going to get it.
But, I mean, but that is the way it's going to go. Ender, who's been doing great. And the idea that Ender, that was like, okay, that's an aberration how last year started. He was got hot in the second half and was able to move him back up in the lineup.
Now, listen, if Ender's getting on base, guys, and we'll see. The first month of the season, by the way, don't panic, right. Okay? But let's see how these first 30 days go. But if Ender is getting on base and giving Acuña an opportunity, you know, whether it's him or Donaldson for that matter, Mike, you know Freeman's going to get his stroke in.
Right.
I just think that creates – now you're talking about a Braves team that has the potential to score 4 runs a game. Seriously. And now that may, you know, not sound like a lot, but if you're scoring 3 runs a game, you're doing something. You're scoring 4, Mike, you're going to win a lot of games. And so now that takes pressure off of these pitchers, which is what we're really talking about, because the Braves – are going to start rookie pitchers in 2 of these first 3 games. And I think this is a big deal. Now, after Julio Teheran is going to start, we know this, 6 consecutive opening day in Philadelphia. And then right-handers Bryce Wilson and Kyle Wright will start the 2nd and 3rd games of the Philly series. And then, you know, Wilson's 21, all right? Wright's 23. This is what I want to see. I need to know if these guys have it.
Plus, Wright had time in college, too. You know,
he did.
And some guys like Billy Beane with the A's, now, granted, never won a World Series, but he likes the idea of taking guys that have that experience in college. Some general managers don't want to get it right off the tree and get the high school bonus, baby. But Kyle Wright looks the part. He's looked the part this spring. You and I are big fans of Tukey. I think Tukey would be right in that mix. I just, to me, he's got like veteran savvy. He's got that moxie a little bit. We saw some in the second half when he was, again, used sparingly. If anything, we want to see more of Tukey, right, last year down the stretch. But I think Tukey's going to be the guy right behind Wright. They're really high on Bryce Wilson and really high on Freed. So, as you said, ain't nobody else coming out of that bullpen door, so they're going to have to do it.
Those guys, those 4 guys that we're talking about, Wright, Wilson, Freed, and Tukey. And Tukey's been optioned to AAA, by the way.
As was Duvall, by the way, yep. Which I think is not a bad idea.
No, Dan Winkler, all to Gwinnett. So he's going to get his time up here. But I think it's impressive that these guys are going to start the season. The Braves are going, all right, listen, let's go. Let's see what we got. And I like the fact that I don't have to wait another year to see what Kyle Wright's going to look like. What are we waiting on? He's 23. Let's go.
No, it is go time. And look. Now, the big question, and this is what you know, we talked about with Dave O'Brien, you know, Newcomb's a real head case. I'm not trying to make it into a thing, but Newcomb's got to control the walks because, I mean, I'm not saying it's make or break time, but if the other
sounds
guys.
Sounds like make or break time.
But to your point, if the other dudes are throwing strikes, I can't have Newcomb doing what he's been doing, which is way, way, way too many guys on base.
Yeah, that was the problem. It's been a problem in spring, but it was also a problem for this staff last year.
Everyone hates walks. The players hate walks. Dave O'Brien brought up last week. You're sitting in the outfield picking your nose, and the guy's just going 3-2, 3-2 on everybody and walking people.
No, you got to get outs. Let's get some ground balls. That's why you love ground ball pitchers, man. It gets them outs. The game moves a lot faster. But we'll see. I'm curious to see how this season rolls around and starts for these guys, especially these young pitchers that are now going to get an opportunity. Text us and let us know what you think. 404-741-0929 is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line here on Dukes and Bell. You can always get involved in the conversation. But, yeah, man, I'm over the whole, you know, we got a bunch of arms and we're waiting and waiting and waiting. Patiently waiting for what? What are we, Eminem? Let's go.
If you're waiting for another guy to get signed, that's not happening. They're not going to spend any money. Maybe the All-Star break will have to, you know, their hand will get forced that they're in it and they'll have to go get somebody, or they're not. That's my biggest fear is these guys are not up to the task.
And then they get raked over the coals.
And then you get raked over the coals of the trade. Or will they get to a point of no return where they won't invest because of Liberty Media? Because all I can go by is what you're telling me. And they're crawling towards like the lower tier to middle of Major League Baseball spending. I really wanted to see Tukey start with the big club. The ERA, I know, was high. Strikeouts are great. Teheran, Toussaint, and Kyle Wright all throwing double digits. I mean, everybody. You mentioned Max Fried throwing strikeouts. Parsons actually had a good spring training, too. So let's just hope these guys are up to the task. Because the other thing, Carl, is if they're not, then you're taxing the bullpen again, which is with the same boat you were in last season.
I don't trust the bullpen. I just don't. And the season hasn't started yet. But I'm looking at what we currently have. These guys are going to have to prove a lot.
So let me ask you this. Kimbrel's going to sit there till the trade deadline at the risk of sitting out the season?
No, I think he's going to sign. I think he's going to end up signing, Mike.
I think he might maybe wait till after. I think it's June 2nd. And then whoever signs him, And I might have the date wrong, but then whoever signs him will not have to give up that second-round draft pick that Boston put on him. I think that could be a very likely scenario that plays out for whoever it is. And reportedly, we're one of the two teams that are still in on him.
Us in Milwaukee, apparently, right?
Yeah, that's correct. And if there's a preference, which I think there is, I've heard, then it might be worth the wait. All right, now if you're telling me this bullpen after June 2nd is Kimbrel, Darren O'Day, Minter, all right, the back half of our bullpen all of a sudden looks a lot better. Johnny Venters looks a lot better than it does to start the season. Now I'm feeling a little bit more comfortable. But right now, Mike, what we have, I'm telling you guys, when we go to the pen, just cross your fingers right now because that's how I feel about it.
Well, let's like the Falcons and our pass rush. Let's hope we score a lot of points for the Falcons and a lot of runs for the Braves to take some of the heat off these pitchers. Let's hope that Donaldson gets rolling because you could argue, yeah, the Phillies got a lineup. But, I mean, I would put the Braves lineup against anyone if Donaldson does what we think he's going to do.
MVP numbers.
Right? You got all these guys that have shown it. Certainly Freddie. And I know Markakis. Okay, it wasn't the greatest thing to do. And maybe you want to upgrade a little more power, more pop in right field. But Markakis is going to pick up hopefully where he left off. First half. And then you know how we feel about Albies. And Albies has had a great spring as well, by the way.
Yes, he has. So, listen, I'm excited about the season. What potentially could happen? I think our offense is going to be exciting. Acuña is must-see TV, must-listen, must-watch. Obviously, however you access the games. And we'll be all over it, guys. And we're talking Braves every day. And we will throughout the course of the season. You know, last year when people were starting to believe a little bit, you know, Mike and I were ahead of the curve on that, man. We were telling you guys this team might do something. And then
I kept saying, go get a pitcher.
That's
go
right.
get a pitcher.
And then this team might do something. And then Acuña, obviously, you know, got hot. And you know how it turned out. But now, here's the deal, Mike. There's an expectation, right? We showed that we were good enough last year. Are we disappointed as a show that they didn't go out and do more? Yeah, because they're cheap. But now you got to roll with what you got. So let's see where it goes, and hopefully these guys get off to a good start. But the initial conversation was tonight at SunTrust, which is eventually going to change names, by the way, right? They haven't changed the name. Right?
Yeah, but they said maybe by the end of the season now that BB&T owns it. Enciarte, Donaldson, Freddie, Acuña batting cleanup, Markakis, Albies, Flowers behind the dish. Joyce will be out there in left field. Dansby, and then Max Fried on the bump, and again, provided the weather cooperates for that Reds exhibition game tonight.
All right, man. And Dansby's another guy. We hadn't talked about it because we were talking about these young pitchers. Come on, Dansby. Come on, man. I want to see you ball out. I want to see you have a great season, and I'm hoping that's the case so we can stop talking about Dansby.
Now, once he finally got things rolling, 9 for 29. So the average, you know, we were just so worried about the wrist, but it seems like it's turned the corner. So we'll hope he'll be all right.
Hey, man, coming up, we got In Case You Missed It with Mike Conte. As we mentioned, we'll go on the sidelines with the Dogs. We'll talk some college basketball, obviously, with the NCAA tournament and what it means now for Georgia State without a guy who really helped put their basketball program on the map, who's moving on. And we'll have plenty of college football conversation as well. Spring games are right around the corner, and spring practices are going on around the SEC and the ACC. Teams are talking about what they're trying to prepare to the fall, look like in the fall, Mike, and a lot of conversation about some of the same teams we've been talking about. Clemson, Georgia, right. Alabama, right? All the same teams seem to be right where we left off last season.
So stay tuned. Mike Conte with In Case You Missed It. 4 o'clock, we'll find out if bail money is an impermissible benefit.
Busy. What? I'm very busy right now.
Hey, man.
It's time now for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conte.
Have I got good news for you?
Right here on Dukes and Bell.
All right, guys, on the way, we will talk some college football and some college basketball. And obviously, our prayers are out for Georgia Tech. We will explain. But right now, it's time for Mike Conte, In Case You Missed It, brought to you by Resurgence Orthopedics. Mike, what's going on today?
I'll tell you what, this is crazy. Someone out there through two rounds of the tournament, 48 games, has a perfect bracket. Now, it's only one, but it does exist. And according to NCAA.com, since they started tracking it whenever they did, this is the first time someone has had a perfect bracket this deep in the tournament. What are the odds? One in 281 trillion, wow. 474 billion, 976 million, 710,656. Those are the odds.
Wow.
Going 48 for 48 to start.
Yeah, listen, I'm not going to tell you it's impossible, but it almost is. And this is why they have this contest every year, Mike, and this is why they give $1 million right. away. And you've got all these people that want to get in. It's so hard to predict this stuff. You just had it. It's the luck of the draw, man.
If this guy worked for Warren Buffett, he'd be a millionaire right now.
Right on.
Because Warren Buffett offered that to his employees. So all you have to do is be all the way right through the Sweet 16. This is why Warren Buffett does this every year, because the odds are 1 in 281 trillion. Mm-hmm. Odds are Warren Buffett, I'm sure he probably even has it insured. He's probably not going to have to pay anyone. By the way, if you're wondering, he has Duke, Virginia, Gonzaga, Kentucky in his Final Four.
Okay.
And he's got Gonzaga winning it all.
Well, listen, they are playing great. Kentucky, that's – Mike and I said this. Them losing in the SEC conference tournament might have helped them.
Maybe.
We'll see.
A little bit fresher, but no one's really talking about them. There's a look, they've got a bunch of guys going to the NBA, but they don't have the guy,
mm-mm,
you know, like they've had in years past.
Am I the only one who's a little bit bummed out that pretty much everyone left is a brand name? Like, there really is no Cinderella. I guess Oregon kind of is, but Oregon
they've
was in the
there.
Final Four 2 years ago.
Right.
So, yeah, it's just, I don't know. I want to see a Cal Irvine or a UCF.
Conti, here's what's funny, man. It's Mike Conti, in case you missed it. This weekend I was out in Vegas, and the tournament out there is bananas. The Super Bowl's always great, but this particular weekend,
the biggest moneymaker, right?
It is. If you ever get a chance to do it or go, it's one of the funnest things, especially for guys. It's, if you enjoy women, well, there are tons of, you know, ladies out there with their ladies friends as well, but I know it's a guy's thing for the most part. To your point about cheering for teams, it was so crazy. Like, when Virginia was struggling, so many guys who were losing money were just like, just lose! Because you're just tired of, like, the struggle bus, and so now it's like, you know what, just lose. Duke yesterday, it was the up and down, the ebbs and flows of fans literally going, man, I took Duke. Oh, Duke's about to lose. Oh, they're going to win. And then when Duke was on the verge of losing, everybody's like, just lose. I just want them to lose.
Yeah, right.
You know, so I don't know if you're cheering for a true underdog now that you really go, yes, that's the team I'm going to get behind. I'd love to see them get to the Elite Eight or maybe even a Final Four.
It's funny you bring that up. Darren Rovell actually tweeted on Friday, when he wasn't tweeting about Chick-fil-A being closed on Sunday, someone at this William Hill sportsbook that he kind of indirectly works for made a money line bet on Virginia against Gardner-Webb, bet $9,000 on Virginia, just on the money line. Okay, so Virginia won.
Yes.
Congratulations. You know how much he won on his $9,000 bet? $120
Yeah, that wasn't worth it.
Is it really worth it?
Yeah, that's, again, for those that aren't familiar, that's like literally like minus $9,500.
I mean, I don't want to tell anyone what to do with their money, but and then when they're down by 15 in the first half, he's probably thinking, I really wish I had not put $9,000 down to try to win $100.
I told Carl how you, me, and Randy were watching it going, oh, you know, right in the middle of his In Case You Missed It segment.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing. Like, I'm going through tournament withdrawal already because the fun part of the tournament for my money is now over.
Mm.
We have no more daytime games except, for next Saturday and Sunday.
Yep.
That Thursday and Friday, the first really 4 days, but especially the first 2 days, that's the best because it's games nonstop. During work, there was literally, Carl, you weren't here. There was literally no one here at work.
Oh, I can imagine.
Thursday and Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
Literally, it like tumbleweeds in this office.
Yeah.
Other than Mike, myself, and.
I can imagine.
And Randy. It was.
The boss works hard, Chris. Gonna take, he's got to get his head right. Gonna take a few days off.
No, I understand. I understand.
I don't know what you're talking about. Talk about someone who had a really, really bad weekend.
Mm.
Adrian Bronner, boxing. Person.
What'd he do now?
And he went down to Miami Beach. And first of all, Friday night, he decided to get into the club.
Okay.
And
you can find me in the club.
Well, no, you couldn't find Adrian Bronner in the club. The security staff at the Voodoo nightclub would not let him in. And, embarrassingly, there's a lot of video. People whip out their cell phones whenever something like this happens. So you see Adrian Bronner pleading to try to get in the club. Club security says no. So then Adrian Bronner the next night, walking down the street, busy Collins Avenue, with Gervonta Davis, by the way, another boxer.
Right.
And Adrian Bronner decides, hey, I'm about billions. I'm going to jaywalk. And he walks right in front of a car that has to hit the brakes. Well, Adrian Bronner was, I guess, upset that the car had to slam on its brakes in the middle of Collins Avenue, not in a crosswalk.
Right.
So Bronner decided to start pounding on the hood of the car. There are cops right there. So the cops come over and cuff him. Say, you got to calm down or we're going to arrest you. He would not calm down. He clapped back at the cops.
Right.
So
typical.
They threw cuffs on him. They did not arrest him. He's had a very not good couple weeks. There have been some incidents with him. in a very, very homophobic rant on social media on a video that he posted. Of course, he has faced criminal charges left and right for a number of incidents, some of which have not been rectified yet. I guess when they uncuffed him, though, he decided to go to the Exchange nightclub, and they let him in this time.
Okay.
And there's video of him doing something called the bust down dance.
Oh, bust down, Tatiana. Yes.
You know what that is?
Oh, very familiar.
Yeah, I
can you describe it to the listeners?
That I can't do. Craig, you got the song in there, Craig? It is Mike Conti.
Is it like that pop, drop, and lock song?
Hold on real quick. Thanks to YouTube, how to bust down dance.
Okay.
Bust down.
By Blueface. He'll teach you how to do that, Carl,
yes,
on the YouTube.
Yeah, that's not all. Resurgence Orthopedics, guys, they are great. From neck to toes, muscles and bones, get moving again with Resurgence Orthopedics. They're taking care of my daughter with her broken foot, which is still healing. We got to go back, as a matter of fact, Mike Conti, get some x-rays. Hopefully, this thing's looking a lot better.
But I hope so.
We'll see. But they are great, so go check them out. You got it, Craig? Bust down!
It's loading. Yeah, well, wow.
It seems like you just basically work your drawers with one hand and put your hand over your head.
Pretty much.
That sounds easy.
I mean, it's really not much of a – I see guys doing this every day in Midtown.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Basically, you're at your belt line, you're kind of jocking your stuff, and then you put one hand up over your head like you're riding a bull.
Okay.
That's one way to describe it, Mike.
All right. Well, the funny thing, like when that pop, drop, and lock thing was a phenomenon like a decade ago.
Yeah.
The guy whose song it was, what was his name, Huey? Is that right?
I don't remember that.
I don't remember anyhow. The he got really upset because men were doing the pop, drop, and lock, and it was a song that was supposed to encourage females to do that particular dance. So he actually
so
has
this,
to,
I think.
Yeah, okay.
I think this.
Well, I'd rather see a woman doing this than the guy in the dance video. Yes, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I'll take your word for it. By the way, speaking of music, did you see that Peloton, the people that make the exercise bikes? Those really, really fancy exercise bikes.
They have the video screens. Can you be another person in the world?
Yeah, they're being sued right now because these artists are accusing them basically of taking their music without permission and using them as part of whatever you pedal to on a Peloton.
Okay.
So, like Justin Timberlake, Rihanna, Chris Brown.
So they don't have the rights to license to use this music.
I think you have to pay fees.
You do.
Don't you?
You should.
They're being sued right now. It doesn't say for how much. It says massive damages. So I guess there are several commas in that. But
gotta have the licensing. Yeah.
The artists are claiming that they are using their songs during their classes without permission. Rihanna is very upset because Rihanna has multiple songs. She claims that are being used without permission.
Well, a lot of her up-tempo stuff, I can imagine.
Well, Diamonds is one of them.
Okay.
Umbrella, that's a good one
to
exercise to. No, absolutely, that's kind of nice little beat.
Keeps you moving, get
absolutely.
The heartbeat.
Absolutely. Don't Wake Me Up by Chris Brown is one of the songs mentioned in the lawsuit. Pat Benatar,
who's working out the Pat Benatar?
Works out the Pat Benatar. She's in the lawsuit.
Oh, Squidbilly. No, I remember one time I was at LA Fitness. Squidbilly had the Joe Weider arm blaster. You know, hit me with your best shot. He's just cranking it up, man. He's getting after it.
All right, I guess so. Listen, I've heard that in the gym before. I've never worked out to it.
If you're in beginner mode, I could see where that would work because that's not really an up-tempo song.
Yeah.
But by the way, if you ever get a chance, there's a guy on Twitter who goes by the handle Clue Haywood, who has a whole thread about how in the Peloton ads, they pick like the swishiest homes nicest homes or the nicest rooms in those homes, which is completely unrealistic.
Totally.
If we all owned exercise bikes, we'd probably have them in our basements, right? Or
make this experience look like it's the best thing ever.
It's the centerpiece of the home.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to put a Peloton exercise bike right off my kitchen.
Well, not only that, Mike, one of the commercials has it like in a high rise with a view.
Yeah.
Right.
In your studio apartment overlooking Manhattan with ceiling to floor
or
glass.
In the middle of like a Zen garden in the Pacific Northwest or something like it. Is this it? Is this the
Squidbilly works out? No. Squidbilly's sitting there. He's got his leg warmers on. He's got his ankle weights. And he is running in place with the Joe Weider arm blaster.
Now, that's what I said. This is so aerobics 80s, isn't it? I don't know about now.
Hey, clearly it works for me, so.
Squid is at like 5% body fat these days.
But just to be clear, this is not the bust down song, correct?
No, this is not Blueface.
Well, you could attempt to dance the bust down to this.
Bust down!
No, it is not.
Interpret it in your own way.
Be careful, Craig. Don't pull up the Cardi B remix, by the way.
Right.
Very dirty. This is it.
This is the bus down.
Yes. That is it right there.
Boy, it is Dukes and Bell. Much of it.
No, I think Craig had.
I believe there was filth, lard, filth.
Yeah, Craig probably had to cut it. But so this is what Broner got. He was in the club, popped on, huh?
After getting cuffed for yelling at him.
He's a head case, Mike.
Miami Beach police did let him go, though.
He's a head case. Hey, Mike Conti, great job. Again, brought to you by Resurgent Orthopedics. All right, man, we're coming back. We got plenty more to get to, guys.
But first, Crow and I are going to run in place to Hathaway. What is love?
I'm going to bust down.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.